Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
By partnering with JCS Marketing Incorporated, your company can achieve 3.5 million impressions to growers, consultants, and industry professionals annually. Our comprehensive media suite, which includes prestigious publications as well as dynamic websites, targeted emails, engaging podcasts, and premier trade shows, provides a strategic platform for targeting key decision makers. This approach can amplify your company's visibility to a specific audience and fosters meaningful connections, positioning your brand at the forefront of the agricultural community. Don't wait for success to come to you. Call our office today at 559-352-4456. That's 559-352-4456.
Los Angeles-based Superfresh Growers launched a video interview to celebrate National Farm Worker Awareness Week last week. The video highlights the essential and yet often overlooked contribution of farm workers. Superfresh Growers interviewed farm manager Claudio Villalobos to hear firsthand his perspective on agricultural work. He discussed the time and care he puts into making sure his team of farm workers understands their importance, not just to him, but the whole company. Villalobos continues by sharing his stark reality of being misjudged in the community by going to the bank or a doctor's office with dirty boots straight from the farm. He says they don't stop and think about the value that farm workers bring, that they can buy apples and other foods because of farm workers. Villalobos's comments remind people of the skill, hard work, and dedication embedded in every piece of fruit enjoyed. Every time a consumer enjoys a fresh bite of a crispy apple, a cherry pie, or a refreshing blueberry drink, they are enjoying the labor of countless farm workers who play an essential role in the food supply chain. Superfresh Growers is committed to celebrating and supporting farm workers, not just during Farm Worker Week, but all year round. The company wants to ensure that farm worker voices are heard and their stories are told. Farm workers are the backbone of the agriculture industry, yet their contributions are often overlooked by those outside of the farms. Recent research utilizing remote sensing and artificial intelligence by the University of California, Santa Barbara and NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory highlights potential for significant water savings in California's agriculture through crop substitution. The study suggests a theoretical reduction in water usage by approximately 93% if water-intensive crops like almonds and alfalfa were replaced with less thirsty options such as grain and hay. However, the lead author, Anna Bozer, emphasizes the economic challenges of such a transition, citing the higher economic viability of more water-intensive crops in a state. The research also explores more feasible strategies for reducing water consumption by following merely 5% of the fields currently cultivating the most water-demanding crops. A reduction of water usage by over 9% could be achieved. Further savings of 10 to 11% are possible through enhancing water efficiency and partially shifting cultivation from the most to moderately water-consuming crops. This approach could entail transitioning from crops like kiwis and almonds to corn or sorghum, especially in water-stressed regions like Tulare County. Despite the potential for water savings, the economic implications pose significant challenges, particularly given the high value and global demand for California's specialty crops such as pistachios, almonds, and grapes, which are major contributors to the state's agricultural employment and revenue. The Department of the Interior has announced a $35 million investment from President Joe Biden's Investing in America agenda for six small surface and groundwater storage projects in California and Utah. The projects each receive funding from the bipartisan infrastructure law that will increase water supply reliability, improve operational flexibility, and enhance community and landscape resilience to the effects of climate change. In California, $9.1 million will be allocated for Rancho California Water District's Paba Valley Groundwater Banking Project. During wet years, the project will provide approximately 5,000 acre-feet of excess imported water to recharge the Paba Valley Groundwater subunit. This water will be available for use during dry years to help serve potable water demands in the district, including agricultural demands. $7 million is being allocated for the Imperial Irrigation District's upstream reservoir storage project. The upstream operational reservoir storage project is aimed at maximizing Imperial Irrigation District's water management efficiency within the Imperial Valley. The project has a storage capacity of 2,100 acre feet and is projected to conserve 15,000 acre feet per year for in-valley use. $6.7 million is being allocated for the San Benito County Water District's Accelerated Drought Response Project. This project will provide an injection and storage of up to 2,700 acre feet per year of treated Central Valley Project water. In wet years, this is estimated to save an average of 1,035 feet per year of stored water. The project will support up to 5 aquifer storage and recovery wells and expand the West Hills Water Treatment Plant, as well as construct pipelines to convey water between the wells, water treatment plant, the Sunny Slope County Water District, and Hollister and San Juan Bautista, California distribution systems. $3.9 million is being allocated for Groundwater Banking Joint Powers Authority's Phase 1 of the Kern Fan Groundwater Storage Project. Phase 1 of the project includes the acquisition of 350 acres in Kern County for the construction and operation of recharge basins, recovery wells, and water conveyance infrastructure. And $1.3 million will go for the Del Porto Water District's Aristemba Creek Recharge and Recovery Project. Water will be stored in a local aquifer in wet years and then used in dry years to provide agricultural water supply under the Small Groundwater Storage Project. Recharge water will include available non-storable Central Valley Project supplies and floodwater flows from Aristemba Creek. The projected average annual production is 1,485 acre feet. The Allman Leadership Program's Class of 2024 is set to host its fifth annual golf tournament on May 2nd at the Dragonfly Golf Course in Madera. The event aims to raise funds for the California FFA Foundation, with money raised to be allocated towards scholarships for FFA members. Ryan McCoon, Allman Leadership Program participant and co-chair of the golf tournament, knows how influential FFA can be to students by saying his time in FFA was impactful, like it is to many young people, as either an introduction to agriculture or a program to build skills and character. He said he could not imagine a better benefactor than the FFA Foundation. Participation in the tournament comes at a cost of $700 per foursome, encompassing golf fees, carts, breakfast, and lunch. Prizes will be awarded for achievements in the scramble format, long drive, and closest to the pin. The event will commence with registration and breakfast at 6:30 a.m., followed by a shotgun start at 8 a.m. Sponsorship opportunities are also available, ranging from $250 to $2,350, inclusive of a foursome and advertising as part of event promotions. Rebecca Bailey, Senior Specialist in Industry Relations for the Allman Board, underscores the event's importance, saying that high school seniors are the future leaders of the California ag industry and within their local communities. College is expensive, so being able to support students as they pursue higher education will help to ease financial and stress-related burdens. The primary objective of the event is to raise $25,000 for scholarships, constituting one of the two major annual fundraising endeavors organized by ALP class members. The second initiative is a silent auction held during the annual Allman Conference in December. For more information, log on to almonds.com. Mark Bantany, a farm advisor with the University of California Agriculture and Natural Resources, has been confirmed as the American Society for Oenology and Viticulture 2024 Extension Distinction Award recipient. He will be presenting Flipping Dimensions, a Vertical Weather View Helps Illuminate Vineyard Challenges at the 75th ASEV National Conference in Portland, Oregon on June 19th. In 2001, Bantany was hired as the viticulture farm advisor for San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties and changed title to water management and biometeorology advisor for the same region in 2018. He continues to be an active extension educator for growers throughout California and has enjoyed extensive international engagement over his career.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70-plus exhibits, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there. 5 Things to Know About Irrigation System Automation by Cecilia Parsons, Associate Editor. An irrigation system without automation is like having a television set without a remote. That succinct description by Guillermo Valenzuela of WiseCon highlighted the value of irrigation system automation in saving water, nutrients, and energy. Irrigation automation is a combination of software tools that create an irrigation schedule. The schedule is then sent to an infield controller, which activates control valves at the local pump station or infield valves through buried wire or wireless radios. Modern systems can also control fertigation systems and have fail-safe systems in case of any issues in the field. In a discussion at the Almond Conference, moderator Tom DeVol, Almond Board's Senior Manager of Field Outreach and Education, stressed next big savings in water use efficiency and nutrition in almond production lies in adoption of automation. Quote, automation is where you make big gains in water use efficiency and nutrition, DeVol said. It is a tool that can allow for more precise control of water application and minimize the potential for error. Growers and managers have the freedom to trim an irrigation set to exactly what is needed and not when the irrigator can get to the valve. End quote. Automation means accuracy. Quote, having an automated system means irrigation is on schedule and water applications will be accurate. End quote. An automated irrigation system refers to the operation of the system with no or just a minimum of manual intervention beside monitoring. Systems use controllers, sensors, and software to make the process more efficient and free up labor to do other orchard tasks. Almost every drip system, such as drip, sprinkler, or surface, can be automated with help of controllers, sensors, or computers or mechanical appliances. It makes the irrigation process more efficient, and workers can concentrate on other important farming tasks. Advantages of automation include elimination of the manual operation of opening and closing valves. There is the ability to change frequency of irrigation. Systems can be operated at off-peak hours to save on energy costs. Disadvantages include higher upfront costs and a learning curve to operate. Data collection and implementation is necessary for timing, flow rates, and amounts. Systems can be wired or wireless. DeVol said that he has never worked with a grower who was not happy when choosing an automated system, and those growers all have received great benefit from the higher upfront cost, he said. The almond industry has made some great strides in water use efficiency, DeVol said. The next big jump will come from leveraging technology to help solve when and how long to irrigate and automation to precisely execute the irrigations. 5 things to know about automated irrigation systems. Number 1, labor savings. Quote, it takes time to get used to, but it's not rocket science, end quote, said almond grower and founder of Hotspot, James Nichols. It is not as complicated now, but there needs to be willingness to learn about the system. DeVol said freeing field crews from opening and closing valves allows them to focus on other orchard work that needs to be done. Savings in labor costs can be realized over multiple years. Valenzuela agreed, noting if manual operation of a system must be done 2 or 3 times a day, quote, automation makes life simpler, end quote. Number 2, expensive to install? Yes, it can be, DeVol said, but even with the current economic struggles, this year record incentive funding is available to almond growers who want to move to automation. This is a good opportunity to use the grants to help with water and energy efficiency, he noted. Decisions on a wired system or unwired must be made. Nichols said upfront costs for installation can be high, keeping growers from adoption. Number 3, it's not just water, nutrient, and energy use can also be optimized by automation. The ability to use off-peak hours means growers can take advantage of lower rates without having to turn pumps on or off during the late night or early morning hours. Panelist Jacob Christford with Ranch System said automation can also help reduce soil variability issues as systems can be set up for shorter or longer sets. Optimization of water and nutrients is also beneficial to tree health, Nichols said. He said the first year with automation saw improved leaf nutrient analysis, and years 2 and 3 had yield improvements. Quote, short term, there are cost savings, but long term, there are economic benefits, end quote. With fertigation, you know you are applying the right amount, he added. Number four, peace of mind. With automation, the system runs the way it is supposed to. Things go as planned, DeVol said, and it saves growers and managers from driving from orchard to orchard to verify that irrigation is going as planned. If there's a problem, there will be a notification. Christopher said automation makes it easier to schedule shorter, frequent sets, which keeps moisture in the top 18 inches of soil, preventing leaching of nutrients below the root zone. Automated systems also allow growers to save historic irrigation data and use the same scheduling from the previous year, but it can't be fine-tuned depending on environmental conditions. And number five, technology is not what it used to be. There are mature companies out there, DeVol said, and they have fixed prior glitches in the systems. Addressing the wired versus unwired debate, Nichols said there are pros and cons to both. Unwired, done right, he said, is more dependable. If a chisel hits a wire, it can take down the whole system. Christopher said if wire is already in place, go with it. A wireless system is less expensive to install. Panelist Andres Olivos with Olivos Irrigation said 93% of new system projects are choosing the wireless route. Developments for automation in the future include site and orchard-specific optimal ET product, near real-time ET forecast product, data fusion product based on multi-scale input, such as ground sensors, UAV, and satellite, and ET product adoption trials and extensive strategy development. To read the full article, open up a copy of the February 2024 edition of West Coast Nut magazine, or visit the website at wcngg.com. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
USDA is investing up to $22 million in partnerships that expand access to conservation technical assistance for livestock producers and increase the use of conservation practices on grazing land. The Natural Resources Conservation Service is accepting proposals through its Grazing Lands Conservation Initiative until May 26th. Privately owned grazing lands cover nearly 30% of the national landscape, which means that there is a tremendous opportunity to conserve natural resources through voluntary private lands conservation, according to NRCS Chief Terry Cosby. Following several tests for other illnesses, dairy cow herds in Texas and Kansas have been confirmed to carry a strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza. It is the first time the HPAI has been detected in dairy cattle. The first detection of HPAI in dairy cattle in Texas and Kansas underscores the importance of adherence to biosecurity measures, vigilance and monitoring for disease, and immediately involving your veterinarian when something seems off, according to Rena Carlson, veterinarian and president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. The unpasteurized milk sample from a dairy farm in Texas and two in Kansas showed positive tests for HPAI, as well as a swab from a different dairy in Texas. Cows at a dairy in New Mexico had also shown a mysterious illness earlier in March. The sick cows have symptoms that included a decrease in milk production, fever, change in stool, and seem to have a change in milk similar to mastitis. After a few weeks, the virus seems to have run its course and the cows recovered. Philip Jardin, dairy extension veterinarian at Iowa State University, said this illness seems to affect older lactating cows and not fresh cows, younger cows, or heifers. About 10% of the cows at these dairies have become sick and are put in the hospital pens. None have died from the virus, and for the most part, cows are back into production after a couple of weeks. While it's not common to find these kinds of viruses jumping from one species to another, a goat on a farm in Minnesota recently tested positive for HPAI at a farm that housed chickens that had been depopulated for carrying the virus. The HPAI virus has also been found in some rodents at poultry facilities that were depopulated, according to Jordan. And wild birds are the source of the HPAI. USDA recently issued a report looking at how global production of agricultural product has grown and developed over a six-decade period. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
The transformation of agriculture production on a global scale over the past six decades has been significant, per a recent USDA report looking at this development and progression. Research economist Keith Fugley is among the report authors.
From 1961 all the way up to 2020, global agricultural output increased by about fourfold.
With gross value growing from $1.1 trillion in 1961 to $4.3 trillion, with a T, by 2020. Also changed over that same time period increased diversity of products.
So some of the traditional things like root and tuber crops, cereal grains, they're actually a smaller share of that total output today than they were in prior decades. What has grown are oil seeds, fruits and vegetables, non-ruminant livestock like poultry and pork, and then especially we've seen huge growth in farm-raised fish, or what we call aquaculture.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
China's U.S. farmland buys and its nefarious hacking, IP thefts of seed genetics, and data breaches have raised U.S. concerns to a fever pitch and prompted recent sanctions against CCP actors. But USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack warns there's just so much USDA can do to track Beijing's buys of U.S. farmland.
No matter how much money you give us, it will always be imperfect for this reason. There are over 3,000 county recorder offices around the country. Every county has a recorder office. It would require us to have a centralized database where every real estate transaction would be essentially put into a database to look at.
The Vilsack says USDA is moving ahead with other efforts, including on the GAO's recommendation to work more closely with agencies linked to the Treasury-led Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S.
I made a request of the Treasury Department for us to be more engaged in issues involving agribusiness, agriculture, farmland. And we have, and we've been engaged and involved in a number of projects. We appreciate the fact that in this 2024 budget that was recently passed, provided resources for the first time directly assisting us to expand staffing for that purpose.
Vilsack says the USDA is also expanding its review of loans and tax records to identify foreign land purchases. Danny Munch, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, explains that the Census of Agriculture is conducted every 5 years and provides a comprehensive snapshot of the agricultural landscape. The latest census conducted by the National Agricultural Statistics Service with USDA was released not too long ago for 2022 and shows that the number of farms in the U.S. declined by 141,733, or by 7%.
You have a lot of different pressures impacting producers right now. So regulatory challenges, access to labor, each regionality is viewing farmers differently. And, you know, environmental regulations have increased in certain areas, making it more expensive for especially smaller farmers to comply. Access to labor, especially for specialty crops producers. Weather conditions have pushed out farms in certain areas. We've seen higher percentages of farms lost, particularly in the Southwest. You have low cost foreign competition that then combines with some of your regulatory challenges. That makes it harder for American farmers to compete. And then, as always, your heightened production costs. Production costs have increased and are forecasted to increase to record levels yet again. The USDA net farm income forecast from February forecasts those to increase $16 billion over last year, which is a 4% increase. Things like interest rates continue to pressure farmers.
Danny Munch with the American Farm Bureau Federation.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.